that deals with the subject of this morning, the broader subject of this morning, I should say. And we're going to look at that text, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, if you'll look there with me. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. I trust this will be an encouragement to everybody here. That is kind of what I'm looking for and praying for. So let's all stand and we'll read this together. 3, writing to Timothy, this is the last book he would have written, somewhere in the late 60s. We're not sure exactly at the exact moment, but somewhere in there. Paul writes, and he's about to be martyred. So he writes to Timothy because, believe it or not, Timothy probably wasn't real excited that he was in prison about to be killed. So Timothy was a little discouraged, and I think most of us would be too. And he begins by saying, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance. And there's lots of little words that deal with the mind, remembering. That without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful, see the word mindful, remembering your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, do you all get the hint that he just keeps saying the same stuff over and over? The unfeigned faith, the sincere, genuine, non-hypocritical faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. I want you to remember that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Everyone look here. We're going to read two more verses. This whole text revolves around something very simple. Paul constantly uses terms of remembering, with the idea that Paul says, I'm remembering, Timothy. I want you to remember, with the idea, and he uses a word in Greek. It's really hard to bring out totally in English. It is a word, if you look at verse 6 again, when he says that thou stir up, that word wouldn't mean anything to most people in this room because most of us didn't grow up with fires. But if you grew up like I did on a farm and you had to put your wood in the fire, and you had to get that old poker in there and poke that thing up and stir that fire up so it burnt and would warm up your house. That's exactly his analogy. I want you to stir this thing up and get the fire going. So he ties memory and remembering with this concept of stirring up, bringing back to life the fire, he says, of the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Some translations say self-control, which is proper. It means self-control of the mind, primarily. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'm going to speak this morning on these verses. I'm going to talk about keeping the fire burning. If you have ever grown up or had a fire that you had to be warmed by, you know the value of knowing how to stir that fire up and put wood on the fire and keep it going, because if you don't, you get cold. And Paul is talking about keeping the fire going within. Father, I ask your blessing now on this time as I try to share some very simple thoughts of encouragement and really a very, very simple truth that Paul is trying to convey to Timothy. Is what Paul models he wants Timothy to do. Help us to hear this morning this very simple truth we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It would be the middle of winter in southern Illinois. In the 1960s, growing up on the farm, and you'd be all snuggled up in your blankets upstairs. My brother and I had one side of the old farmhouse, and my two sisters had the other side. And they'd be over there and we'd be over here and you'd be all snuggled up in your bed. And in the middle of winter, that old farmhouse was cold. There was no heat upstairs of any kind, so you just survived. It wouldn't get below freezing down there, but it would get cold. The old farmhouses didn't have much insulation. The windows were bad. In fact, there were a couple places that the snow could blow in certain places, and you would have snow in the upstairs in the morning if it snowed. It was cold. And many a time I remember waking up, and your first thought was, do I have to get up? And you knew if you didn't get up, Mom would get you up. So you had to get up. So you would kind of open your eyes and get yourself acclimated, and you would look for some clothes to put on. Because the idea was, in one swoop, to get out of that bed, get into your clothes, get run over, go down the steps, and go around, because the only heat we had in the whole house wasn't in the kitchen or in my mom and dad's bedroom, and there was another bedroom. It was around here in the living room. So you'd go down those steps, through the kitchen, around the thing. And if you've never experienced this privilege of backing up to a wood stove when it's cold, it's a great thing. I can remember backing up to that wood stove, and sometimes I would have long handles on. Do you all know what long handles are? Long johns. And you'd be so close to that stove that they'd be singed like a piece of toast when you got away. You say, why? Because it was cold. This happened every day in the wintertime. Jump, you know, look for your clothes, jump out of your clothes, run down to the steps, run down the steps, go through the kitchen, go into the living room so you could get warm. Then there were those few times, I'm guessing 6 or 8 times in my whole youth, where the fire had gone out. My mother was an expert at keeping fire going. She would get that fire going just right. She would gradually turn it down. You had a damper at the top. You had another damper at the bottom. You'd gradually bring that fire down. You'd put a big piece of wood in there, and then you'd turn that thing off just about to the place where it would start smoking up the house, and then it would burn all night. But once in a while, when you got downstairs in the morning, I would say 6 or 8 times in my childhood, you'd run out downstairs, go down the steps, go through the kitchen, go into the living room, and the fire would be out. So you went from freezing to freezing. Can I tell you something? You wanted to keep the fire going. Now, in this passage, you're going to see something. Paul tells Timothy how you keep the fire going, hear me, within. How you stir it up. How you fan the flame, so to speak. And he talks about 2 things. He talks about memories. My good buddy Scott Francis brought this for me. It's just about the size to throw, so if you start sleeping, wood is the memory, or are the memories. Here's what you have to burn. By the way, if you don't have the right kind of memories, the fire goes out. There's 2 parts, though. These are the memories, pieces of wood. You got to put the piece of wood in the fire if it's a stove or a furnace, or if it's a bonfire, you got to put it on the bonfire. But the act of putting it into the fire and stirring it up is the act of remembering. There's 2 parts. There are the memories, and then the act of remembering, putting it into the fire. And by the way, that's exactly what Paul's going to say. He's going to tell you how you keep the fire going within. And there is a process. And this morning, what we want to look at is what Paul does. I want to read this because I wrote it very specifically. Paul, in this passage, uses a metaphor. He uses a metaphor that how he, Paul, and how Timothy was to keep the fire burning within. It was what Paul was already doing, and it's what he wanted Timothy to do. As Timothy knew, Paul's going to be killed. And he was getting discouraged and afraid. Paul wrote him, and he did something. He pointed out some memories and the fact that he was remembering, and then he called to remembrance Timothy, so Timothy would do what Paul did to keep the fire burning. So Paul not only tells Timothy what to do, Paul does it himself. Look when your Bible's back with me. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. He says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. You see, Paul is acting out what he's doing. And Paul is remembering Timothy. Timothy is one of the memories. He's some of the fuel. But the act of remembering is the process of stirring the fire up. So Paul says, I have you in remembrance, verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful, bringing to mind, bringing to remembrance, that's the act, thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I'm going to just encourage you to do three things. By the way, please look at me. If you go to a wood stove and there's no wood in the fire, what's going to happen eventually? Please tell me. I want everybody to tell me. What's going to happen? What happens if you go into a house and you have a large stack of wood, this high, but none of it's in the stove? The fire does what? You have to do two things. You have to have the memories, which, by the way, if you're a child of God, you already do. And you have to actively remember. You got to put it in the fire. So what I'm going to do today is just talk about the three things Paul does. And first of all, I'm going to say this. And I'm just paraphrasing this concept. Number one, remember key people. Paul, on purpose, brings to mind, as he's facing martyrdom, key individuals in his life. He remembers Timothy. He remembers that Timothy was one of his converts. He remembers Timothy was a faithful man. He remembers the unfeigned, genuine, non-hypocritical faith that's in Timothy. He actively is remembering. By the way, when he does it in verse 4, he says, that I may be filled with joy. I mean, this process brought great joy to Paul. There is a stirring of the flame by Paul remembering Timothy. Now, folks, he also did something else. When he thought of Paul, I mean, when Paul thought of Timothy, he also thought of Timothy's whom? Grandmother and? Do you think he was doing that just for himself? When Timothy was discouraged, he was not. Paul, actively writing this letter, was remembering Timothy and the grandmother and the mother, but he was in the very process reminding Timothy of those people that were key in Timothy's life. There was an unfeigned faith, a sincere, genuine faith, from grandma to mom to son. And in the very process of encouraging himself, he is trying to share with Timothy encouragement and trying to get Timothy to remember those people that were key people in his life. For Paul, it was Timothy. Timothy was in his prayers. Timothy's tears were remembered. Timothy's sincere, genuine faith was remembered. But he also remembered Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice. And in those were undoubtedly some of Timothy's key people in Timothy's life. All of us have our own struggles. The fog of despair. I don't know how to illustrate this. I grew up on the Mississippi River. If you've never been up early in the morning and driven down to the Mississippi River Valley and seen the fog that can come in, and see fog that you can't see, you can't hardly see this far in front of your face. Sometimes, folks, the fog of despair comes into your life, comes into your circumstances, comes into your setting, and we're just clouded over by these problems and difficulties and discouragements. And Paul writes to Timothy, secondarily to us, he says, listen, to deal with that, remember the key people. Timothy, I'm remembering you. I'm also remembering Grandma and Mom. And in the very process, he's reminding Timothy to remember the unfeigned faith of his grandmother that stood for God and the faith of his mother that stood for God. And that very process dispels the fog that comes into our lives. The fog of despair can come into any life. Real problems, losses, disappointments, tragedies can cause the best of us for all of a sudden the fire to go out. But when you see and feel and experience the fire going out from within, please hear me. It's your job, not mine, to look for some wood, to go back to those key people, and then not only find the wood, but actively to remember and again to stir the fire and stir it up within your soul. Yes. Memories are the fuel. The act of remembering is adding the fuel to the fire. I think back to a lady that taught me Sunday school when I was a boy, Mrs. Varble. She was our pastor's wife. She taught Sunday school in, I think, first, second, and third grade or somewhere around there. As I wrote this sermon, I closed my eyes. It's been 45 at least years since she taught Sunday school when I was in a Sunday school. I closed my eyes. I can still hear Mrs. Varble teach. I can still see her standing there. I can still see her. She was the tallest woman in our church, probably 5'8", 5'9", maybe 5'10". Very tall, thin lady, a little bit stooped. She was much older than my parents. I can still see Mrs. Varble teaching. I can still see Mrs. Varble. She had the worst eyes of anybody I had ever met. When I was a child, Mrs. Varble looked through glasses that were this thick. She could barely see when she was in her 30s, 40s, and 50s. But she would stand there in front of us and teach the Bible. And 45 years later, I can still remember her voice and how she would stand. And can I tell you something? You go ahead and be discouraged. You go ahead and have a poochy lip all your life. If you don't mind, I have a few memories. And if you don't mind, I'm going to remember them. And if you don't mind, I'm going to stir the fire up within me. And you know what I encourage you to do today? You start thinking about the people in your life that had that kind of an impact. I think back to the Clint Crabtree. I've mentioned him many times in this church. There wouldn't have been a little church in the country where I grew up if it, humanly speaking, wasn't for Clint Crabtree. He was the deacon of our church. But he was much more than that. He was the man that he and his wife, when they lost their only child, decided to move from Otterville, Illinois, where there was a church in a little country town, to Fieldon, Illinois, where there wasn't a church. And a deacon and his wife decided a church needed to be planted, and they planted a church. And I don't mean they went there and showed up and told people to come. I mean they went there, and Clint, he was a carpenter. He rebuilt the whole place. It was an old theater, little theater in this little country town. He remodeled the whole thing. And over the next, are you listening, 50 years, Clint Crabtree was involved in remodeling that place, and now it's pretty big and pretty nice. Clint sang solos. Clint led the singing. Clint taught the adult Sunday school class. I got saved at age 9. I never got baptized because I was afraid. I couldn't swim. And in, back where I'm from, you didn't get baptized in up here. You got baptized in a creek. And I was 9 years old, and I thought, if I get baptized, if Pastor Varble lets me go, down the river I go, down the creek I go. And I didn't want to do that. I can still remember, we had a much smaller building, but back in the vestibule, one day, old Clint Crabtree came up to me and he says, "Ralph, isn't it about time you get baptized?" You know what I did? Got baptized. I can go on and on. Pastor and Mrs. Myers, 1976, a young sailor looking for a church in Bethesda, Maryland. Went to that church that Sunday morning. It was a little bitty building. It was so dark and ugly. You went in there and you just felt depressed. The guy got up to lead the singing. And I'm not kidding. When he got up to lead the singing, there was three things you knew. Number one, he couldn't sing. Number two, he beat with one hand like this. And I don't know why he was doing that, because it would just look like this. It was nothing to do with the music. And I remember looking out there thinking, Pastor Myers didn't preach. He did okay. I walked out of that church that morning and there was probably 15 people there, 20 people, and I thought, I don't know if I'm going back here. And quick as I was walking out of that church, Pastor Myers said, "Ralph, how would you like to come over our house for..." Well, I was a single sailor. Food? Are you kidding me? I've been eating. First of all, I just got there from Parris Island with the Marines. They don't even eat food. They don't even eat Navy chow. Dog chow would be better than what I eat at Parris Island. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd love to have some good food. He said, "Come over to our house." They live very close, right beside the church. I went over that day. I can still remember. I don't remember all the food she made, but she made the strongest tea to this day that I've ever drunk. And she made homemade biscuits. Folks, first of all, if you have potatoes and homemade biscuits, what else do you need? I mean, pretty much that's all the food you need. And she had that, and I remember going there and being so happy. Can I tell you what? I was in that church almost 2 years, and I went to their home every Sunday, but I think once. When Vic Borden got saved, and Jerry Forgey got saved, and Larry got saved, and two or three other guys got saved, there would be 8 to 10 of us at their house on Sunday. You say, is that a good memory? Oh, yes. You say, every time that old fog starts coming in, I think back to the people who have been in my life. I think back to those memories, and I take that memory and I actively put it on the fire, get the old poker and stir it up, and think about the people that have been a blessing to me. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, I'm remembering. Now you need to remember. Stir that up. Stir up that gift. Get that fire burning again. Don't let it go out. You have the memories. You have grandma. You have mom. And by the way, you have other things. Now stir it up. Put it on the fire. December of 1977, I saw Mr. and Mrs. Heiner. I'm glad they're here this morning. They were here back in those days, back in the dark ages. I came to this church. I actually didn't come to this church at first. I came to Great Lakes Naval Hospital. I got there on a Saturday. It was my first Saturday at Great Lakes. I'd always heard rumors about how much it snowed up here. It snowed 12 inches the first day I came here. I had been in South Carolina and D.C. In South Carolina, one day it kind of spit some snow. They closed the entire town down in Beaufort. It was like 30 degrees and everybody got nervous, so it just closed up and went home. In D.C., we might have got a little bit of snow, but not much. I drive here from D.C. I get to Great Lakes. I check in down at the barracks because I'm going to work at the Naval Hospital there in the laboratory. I get into the barracks. I take my stuff upstairs. And I'm a young guy, I'm 20 years old, almost 21, and I had promised God I would never miss one service. Because I'd seen so many Navy people, they get transferred, and then it's 3 months later, and they're out of church. I got here, I got my stuff up in the barracks, I walk down the steps, I find the Yellow Pages, and I look for churches. And I find an independent fundamental Baptist church called Lake County Baptist Temple in those days. We dropped the temple thing and got church, but it's the same place. I called this church up on a Saturday. I didn't know who would be here. Somebody answered the phone. I didn't know who it was. I know who it is now. Don Askew. Pick up the phone, talking on the phone. I ask him a bunch of questions. I ask him directions. I ask him about the church. It's still a funny thing. Deacons, I hope you know this. I pick up the phone and I say, are you guys premillennial? Don Askew says, I think so, but you better ask the pastor. That was my first experience in this church. By the way, I came here the next morning. It was a mess. This place here wasn't open. We were still meeting over in the old building. I drive into this place. I couldn't get in the doors. I didn't know where to go. There's snow every place. It's a mess. I walk around, and I see an old couple walking in, and they say, here, we'll help you. And you had to wiggle your way through places and enter back. Wasn't it back here in the back in those days? We entered back here over in the back. By the way, that old couple was the Lichtenbergers. For anybody who was here in the 70s, you know that couple. You saw Mrs. Lichtenberger make it through cancer. Mm-hmm. I remember going downstairs. Oh, I love that downstairs area. I was only there one Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. The next Sunday we were in here. We shouldn't have been in here, but we were. Those were my first weeks. You say, Pastor? And please hear me. You say, Pastor, haven't you had some disappointments along the way? Everyone look at me. Yes, I have. And I choose not to remember them. Thank you very much. You say, what do you do? I choose to remember all the good memories, and there's plenty of them. And by the way, when I choose to remember, in the process of remembering them, it's putting the wood on the fire. It's stirring the fire up. I get encouraged again. I'm ready to go again. It's the very process when Paul wrote Timothy, remember those key people, Eunice. Remember Lois. Remember those people, Timothy. And that very process stirs up within us the flame that keeps us moving. Yes, I have many good memories. I choose to remember, and I choose what I remember. Yes, I have good memories of Tony and Rachel Cardenas and still have good fellowship with them. I have good memories of Arnell and Lenny DeLeon and still have good memories. I have good memories of Romeo and Rose Venosa. I like Rose better than Romeo because he won't come back here, but I love those folks. I have good memories and good relationships with Chuck and Shelley Ells. I still think often, not too much because I think of the people. Right back there where Emily's seated. Anybody that's been in this church any time knows who used to sit back there. Right here. Right where Scott sat and somebody else sat.
Yes, I remember those people. You say, why? I've had plenty of disappointments. I've been lied to so many times and lied about. After a while, if you don't know how to control this mind, look at me, if you don't know how to build the flame, you quit this business. You've got to know how to stir up the fire. And you say, Pastor, well, don't you remember all the bad stuff? Frankly, I can, but don't. I choose not to. I choose to choose my own wood and put it on the fire and stir it up. I look around this room. I have good friends back here in the back, Heidi and Dietmar. I've known them since I was a kid. Fact of the matter is, I think Heidi and Dietmar were my age when I first met them. I always love to see them in church. The only place I'd rather see them in church is at a good restaurant eating German food, but that's another story. You say, why? Because they encourage me. You look around and there are people that are blessings to you. Timothy, I'm remembering your faith. Timothy, I'm remembering your tears and compassion. Timothy, I remember your grandmother. I remember your mother. Timothy, stir it up. Put the fuel on the fire. Get that fire burning. Don't let the fog of despair come in and discourage you. Remember key people. I have it in the car. I won't say much about it this morning. My mother sent me some stuff this last week. She sent me some pictures of my great-grandparents, both sides, on her side. She also sent me something of my great-grandparents, my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother, Adcock. And it was a blessing to see something. He was born in 1877 and she was born in 1884. I knew her. She died when she was about 90, so I knew her. She died. She lived to 1975. I never met him, but I was reading down the list and what really blessed me, I didn't know this. What blessed me was occupation for Grandpa. Well, I knew what he was. It's what everybody was in 1900. They got married in 1900. Do you know what everybody did in 1900? They were farmers. And when I saw him, Mr. Losey and him looked the arms and hands. I saw him. He was a farmer. Great-grandma was a housewife. But what blessed me was religious denomination. Baptist. I realize where the Christians come in my family are from that stream. My great-grandmother and her husband, my grandmother and grandpa late in life, my mother. There's nothing like it. I got to go because I got more to say. One of my favorite memories, I think I only saw it one or two times, was going to that little country church my mom used to go to. And great-grandma was gone. A couple of her children were gone. But my mom would be there. My grandmother would be there. And my grandmother went to that church until she was almost 90. And her three older sisters would be there. And they'd all be in the church in the same pew, all the way up to my great-aunt Opal, which died at age 99. Can I tell you something? That stirs me up. I've had people in my family that stood for God and stood for the gospel and stood for right for five generations that I know of. You say, how do you keep it going? You don't look around at all the problems and the gripers and criticizers and gossips and negative people and people that only want to point out problems. I drop that garbage. I'll tell you what I do. I find those good memories and I put them on the fire. And you know what it does? It causes a fire to burn within. Timothy, remember those key people. Let's look what else he says. Look at verse 6 with me, would you please? I'm going to have to hurry on. Verse 6, and I just gave you a smattering. I didn't even mention the people that are... By the way, I never mentioned the people that are most important in my life, except in passing, because I don't have time and don't want to go that road this morning. Verse 6. He says, wherefore, Timothy, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. We assume, we don't know for sure, that he's talking about Timothy's ordination. And he's telling Timothy, what will encourage you and get you moving and get that stirred up is by remembering not only key people, but remember, secondly, key events. There are those events in your life when you look back on, and they're different for all of us. Many of us, if you got saved later in life, it will be when you got saved. That is a key event. I got saved at age 9. I wasn't gambling, wasn't drinking, wasn't living a wicked life, but I remember getting saved, but that's obviously the key event, God saving me as a child. But I remember dates after that also, those key events in my life. And the way to stir things up is to actively bring your memories and actively remember them. Have the fuel, put the fuel on the fire, remember key events, such as ordination in his life. Wouldn't be in your life. What about those special times? Those special events? Those special happenings that happened in your life? November 23rd, 1975 is one for me. April 1981 is one for me. In April of 1981, I was getting out of the United States Navy in a couple months. Pam Hall, Pam Nowakowski back in those days, had given me a list of names of hospitals in the area where I was going to be moving. I needed to have a job. On a Monday, I went up to the third floor. They don't even have them there in the hospital now. But the floor of the hospital, and it's kind of hard to explain, there was like a wing that went this way, a wing that went that way, and a wing that went that way. And the elevators were here. And the lab was over here in those days, and blood bank was over here. And this side over in those days was empty. But right in the middle was a whole little round of phones, if you can believe anybody would use those kind of phones. And on a Monday morning, I had two rolls of quarters. I went out there and opened a roll of quarters. I still remember it. Put that roll of quarters out. Had that list that Pam Hall had, back then she was perfect then, perfectly written out for me. And I called the hospital. I think it's St. Anthony's in Crown Point, I think is what it is. They had no openings. I called the next hospital in Dyer, Indiana. Our Lady of Mercy Hospital in Dyer, Indiana. Dyer Mercy. I called the hospital. I got all the way to the lab manager, if you can believe that. You could never do that today. Talk to the lab manager. He says, why don't you come down on Saturday and we'll have an interview. And I said, well, let me call you back tomorrow. I called him back on Tuesday. Jenny and I drove down there on Saturday. Are you looking at me? 2 months before I got out of the United States Navy, I had a job waiting for me. I always remember that. You say, why? Those one of those events in your life where you knew God took care of you. By the way, you need to keep those kind of memories in mind. There are many of them. I'm going to shorten this sermon for time, but I'm going to give you a few other. I have a memory of a Sunday afternoon. We left this church. Myself, my wife, my son, my daughter. I can't remember who all was there. I know Tim was there. I know Debbie was there. I know Haley was there. I think Julie was there. And we all drove over to the hospital because Debbie's stepfather, Richard, was dying. And I believe he'd gotten saved. Debbie, when did he get saved? Tim, when did he get saved before that? He got saved that morning. And folks, listen, you want to have something on your fire? You go over to that hospital to a guy that you've been praying for, like Debbie had for years and Tim. And we went to that hospital that day, and he just got saved that morning. Did Debbie talk? He got saved through Debbie. We go over there. We're going to sing to him. We know he's not going to live. I remember that day. We were singing. He was smiling. And I don't know what somebody said. I just remember a couple of words, and these were the words. He kind of scooted up in bed. He said, I'm ready. I don't ever text because I don't know how. But Friday, July 10th, at 9:24 in the morning, I received a text message that said this: my mom got saved. I have in the back of my Bible. You don't want to look at this picture too close because I'm twice the man I used to be when I started pastoring. This is a couple that was, had twins. We had a couples conference. And on a Friday night of that couples conference, I think Toby Weaver was there. It was a great conference. It was going real well. Got a call that she had to go in the hospital. She was losing the babies. This little guy and his twin were born like 4.5 months along. The one brother died that night. He hung on. That's his first year. That's his first Sunday in church. I look at that every once in a while. By the way, that little boy now is... How old is that little boy, Jenny? 18 years old. By the way, we had a little boy in this church. Some of us prayed for. You see that little wild man run around now. Little Brian. Every time I see him, you say, what is he? He's some fuel. You say, why are you saying this? He can keep the fire burning. Because there were people in this church begging God. I remember driving down, and of course, Christy lived there. Jenny and I drove down to see little Brian in the hospital. It was so pathetic to see that little boy hooked up to all this junk. And the only thing you could do is after you wash your hands with that soap that kills everything, including you, you could touch his little foot. And sometimes it's hard to remember how far God brought that little boy that quickly. Can I tell you something? You say, I'm depressed. No, you're not depressed. You're not doing what Scripture says. You're not gathering the wood and putting the wood on the fire and stirring it up. Remember those key people in your life. Remember the Eunices and the Loises. Remember those events in your life and stir it up. By the way, we all have it. If you're a believer, you have many things in your life that God has done for you. If you would look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at one verse. I have many other verses, but I don't have time to look at them this morning. You say, why do you have these kind of memories? Why are they important? Second Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Folks, this is the reason that we remember those good memories, those key events, especially those events. It's what gives us hope in the future. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, and I have two other references, but we don't have time this morning. Verse 9 says this. Paul says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Notice the language. Who delivered, past tense, us from so great a death, and doth deliver, that's present tense, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So you say, Pastor, why do you keep those memories tucked away and why do you remember them? Please hear me. Sooner or later, there's going to come another Brian Lex in our church. And I don't know if God will always answer our prayer, but I know this. There is a God that has answered our prayers. And there is a God that does answer our prayers. And there is a God that can answer our prayers in the future. And what keeps the fire burning is to remember those key events in life. I don't speak much about money, almost never. I have a little thing I keep. I keep weird things. This is a little envelope because my first year in St. Louis, we had a special offering. That church was never very good at giving. When I got there, the Lord blessed and it was very good the whole time. And I, just like here, I never had any problems with money the whole time I was there. We wanted to have a special offering and have an offering for our building so we could do some work. The problem is, most people, if you have a special offering, they'll give to the special offering and they won't tithe. And that one deacon kept saying to me, he says, Pastor, if you have a special offering, we had it happen before. We wanted to raise, I don't know what they wanted to raise, $10,000 one time. And they did it all summer. He says, we built up to this all summer and we had the offering. He said, we got the offering as $10,000 or something, but he said people didn't give for the whole previous month. And the whole time, he got me so worried that I thought, well, maybe God won't do this. I'll never forget when another deacon brought me this thing. He said, Pastor, this morning we have the largest offering this church has ever had in tithing, plus we have $8,452 in the building fund. Can I tell you what? Every once in a while, when somebody comes around and wants to put their arm around Pastor Warren and be a center of discouragement, I just look at this and say, I know what God has done. I know what God is doing. I don't always know what He will do, but by the way, I know how to put some wood on the fire. Look back in your Bibles, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Remember those key events. In Timothy's life, it was ordination. Paul was trying to get him stirred up about his ordination. Remember key people. In Timothy's life, it was probably Paul. It was probably his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Who are those key people? What can you remember? How can you keep the fire burning? Lastly, verse 7, if you look with me, please. Paul says this, for God, he's preaching to Timothy. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I would say to you, thirdly, remember key truths. Paul is giving Timothy a truth that he needed to get a hold of that would stir this gift up. For Timothy, the key truth was that God hadn't given him that spirit of timidity. He wasn't supposed to walk around like this all the time. That didn't come from God. The truth that Timothy needed to get, that the spirit that comes from God is a spirit of power and love and of a self-controlled, sound mind. So Timothy, don't be afraid. That didn't come from God. What comes from God is power and love and the ability to control one's emotions. That's what comes from God. So he's saying, Timothy, remember those key people. Grandma, Mom, maybe me. Timothy, remember that key event. Your ordination, whatever yours are. And Timothy, grab a hold. Remember this key truth. This truth through the dark times of life and through the fog that comes in on us can encourage and stir up the flame. Look at verse 9. One of my favorite verses. Who has saved us? By the way, who saves? Who saves? Who has saved us and called us, same concepts, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Timothy, come to grips with who God is. Come to grips with what His grace means. Come to understand that what He's done in your life didn't just happen. Come to understand if you're afraid, that doesn't come from Him. Come to understand what comes from Him, because He is the sovereign God of the universe. He is sovereign in His grace, in saving you. Come to understand that God gives you love and power and the ability to think clearly. Remember key truths. When I was a young man, 18 years old, battling, I want to be very clear, it wasn't naval culture. It wasn't from the Navy. It was the culture within the Navy in the 70s. Battling the drugs and the alcohol and the immorality. I memorized verses, and I don't know what you're like, and maybe this verse doesn't mean much to you, but when I went to work in the morning, when I walked in the door, I would be saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would be saying, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'd preach that stuff to myself because I needed it. You say, how do you keep the fire going? Look at me. You don't keep anything going by sleeping. You keep the fire going by putting some wood on the fire and stirring it up. And I'd grab that. By the way, to this day, I still have certain passages. If I get a little discouraged, the only advantage I have on some people is I've spent more time in the Bible, so I know more where more wood is. But let me say something, folks. You need to have lots of wood. Because sometimes that fog will come in on you and all of a sudden you're just down and you don't think you can survive. Maybe somebody has betrayed you or someone's been disloyal and all of the issues of life come to bear. Well, you better have some wood and you better know where it's at and you better go get it and you better put it on the fire. You have the memories as a child of God. And I would say to you, Christian, remember those key truths. For Timothy, it was that the spirit of fear didn't come from God, but the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And the fact that God saved us and called us, not according to anything that we could produce. That's especially relevant when your main guy's getting killed in a minute. No, it didn't come from that. It's apart from all works. It's according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Grab those truths. Later on, those truths became other truths. Genesis 50, verse 20, has meant a lot to me. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Or Romans 8:18. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. or Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. You memorize all of those because at different times you need to get the fire going within. You need to gather some wood. You need to gather those key truths and you need to put them in and stir them up. Or maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at me, folks. Discouraged? May I say this to you? There are people in this room that are never discouraged. And there are people in our church that are always discouraged. This is what everybody thinks. I'm just that way. May I say this to you? No, you're not. You don't know how to get the fire going. How do you get the fire going? Please look at me. There's no secret. My mother didn't have a secret poker. My mother understood wood. She understood plenty of oxygen. She had plenty of wood. She put that wood in there, put that poker in there, get that going. And it's just the same in our life. It comes from memories, but not memories in the wood pile. Memories that you actively choose to put in the fire. It's the memories and the act of remembering that keep the fire burning. And let me say this. The founder of the Salvation Army made this statement. It is the tendency of fires to go out. Fires go out unless you're adding fuel and keeping them going. This morning, we're going to do some memories. This morning is about memories. Yes, remember those key people. Yes, remember those key events in your life where you now recognize that God has and God does and God yet will. Remember the tons of text that speak to you in the dark times of life where the Word of God becomes your song in the night. That'll keep the fire burning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for